Welcome, everyone, to this beautiful day of August and our blessing call for this day. And I hope that none of you were disappointed or inconvenienced by the fact that we had a little trouble getting online today. But we're here, and all is well, so we're ready to get started. And I would really, really love to remind you, first of all, have some water. Get hydrated. I'm going to be doing the same because I was so busy trying to get us through my little panic there. I didn't get enough water. And I would love to take some calls from you and see how you're doing. I really want to continue focusing today upon how the choices we make in life affect the blessings that we open ourselves up to receive. You know, so often we talk about the boxes we live in terms of negative, restrictive situations, and we fail to understand and also comprehend that we also create boxes of success that we walk into. In other words, this success only looks like one or two things, or love only looks like a handful of things that we've either experienced or dreamed of. So even the most positive of realities we can create or seek or pray for, dream for, hope for, can also be boxes. And reserving and preserving our freedom of choice is a very important thing and an extremely important part of Yeshua's message to us 2,000 years ago and continuing through me. I don't see yet that anyone has pressed five star. I hope that you will. I would love to hear from you. I would love to know how you're doing and how life is going for you and what you're receiving from the blessings. But I will talk, be glad to talk, because it's an important message until somebody does check in. This is a lighthearted message where you can feel free to just press star 5 at any time. I'll keep my eye on the monitor, and as soon as I can have a break in my sentence or paragraph or chain of thinking, I will, there you have somebody. That's good. All right, from area code 661, you're on.
Glenda?
Yes.
You hear me? Is this Ingrid?
Oh, Ingrid, hi.
Hi. I actually have nothing much to say, but I am just so thankful that I did the seminar and that I bought me these big portraits of Yeshua. And I cannot tell you what it does to me. It just, every time I look into his eyes, it's just like my heart, my physical heart expands. And it's almost like my heart gets bigger than my whole being.
Oh, and that's wonderful, Ingrid. You have such a great way of expressing your ecstasy and your appreciation and your gratitude. And you see, those choices that you made I appreciate, and I'm so grateful that you're grateful to God and others for the blessings you have. But I also want to indicate that because of the way you've chosen to live your life, you also made positive choices.
Oh.
You made a positive choice to be at the seminar and also to purchase the G-Clay of Yeshua. And you really can't tell it the difference from the original, can you?
You mean the difference of my life before?
No. I actually in the what you purchased versus the original that you saw at the seminar. You really can't tell a difference, can you?
No. And I am like totally amazed what just a picture can do.
Okay. Well, thank you for saying that, Ingrid, because that's a very important part of our topic today, and that's the key. is we hope for something wonderful, but we can't really relate to it. Everything in this universe is energy. Everything. We want to have a better social group or environment in which to live, and the only thing we can hang on to is our dream. But when you've been with people like you were in the seminar, and that energy was at that level, then you know that it's attainable. And not just for you, you learned what that energy feels like when 100 people around you also are in that state of energy. Yes. And so you bring home the portrait of Yeshua, which was painted not just to replicate a visual image, but the energy that is in his eyes, the energy that's in his countenance and his bearing.
Yes.
And you look at it, and like a tuning fork, you begin to vibrate at that level.
Yes, it is so amazing.
It is amazing. And that's the key that I want, you know, you're just so intuitive that you brought this up, because you see, every little positive choice we make in life is a thing, a person, an idea, a place, could be food, or some other positive substance that we bring into our life, and it's like one half of a tuning fork. And then we begin to reverberate at that level. That allows us then to make other choices that bring us up to that level, and then we reverberate and we make other choices that bring us up to an even higher level. And that's why you're noticing benefits from not just one blessing. Now, you don't have to come every week. Come when you're led to come. That's true for everyone. Come when you're led to come. Be here as you're led to be here. But don't make it just a one-time visit, because you will make choices from a new higher level that then bring new opportunities into your life.
Yes.
So thank you so much for that, Ingrid.
I thank you, Glenda.
You're very, very welcome. And we have a call here from Teresa. Hi, Teresa, you're on.
I'm on, except I must have pushed the wrong button. I was wanting to mute.
Oh, okay. Well, it's nice to talk to you, Teresa, and I will mute you on my system, okay?
Thank you.
You probably pushed *6. That's what mutes on your own telephone. But actually, this is a message for everybody. Once I mute you on the system, you don't have to mute your own telephone. And if you have muted your own telephone, then if you don't come on immediately after I unmute you on the system, then I need you to unmute your telephone. But I do see Tom is here. Hi, Tom. How you doing?
Hello.
Hello, Tom. You're on.
Hi. Sorry, Glenda. I wanted to say hello and aloha. Because
oh, aloha to you.
I'm aloha because Tom from Chicago is in Hawaii right now.
Awesome.
Sister Kathy, and it's a beautiful, you know, it's 10:20 in the morning, and it's a beautiful sunny day, and I'm out here on the lawn with all the just incredible nature out here. And I wanted to share that with you as far as some of the choices we make. And we've been here for a couple weeks. I've had health issues and challenges, and it's just been a wonderful growth experience. The one thing I did want to mention, well, we met a wonderful new friend named Aaron, who's joining us on the call, and I think enjoying the energy. I love and love, love the new painting. I need to get a copy for myself. And the other thing I just wanted to mention was in regards to the Japanese and their challenge from the tsunami over there.
Uh-huh.
I was going to fly to Japan and get in their water, and I didn't make it out there. But in the water here sent that way a blessing towards helping perhaps to relieve any feelings of guilt of bringing, you know, poison to the earth and that sort of thing, because they are, they seem to have such a high moral standard. You know, I was reading
yes, they do. They are very loving people.
They've been finding millions of dollars.
That was so thoughtful of you, Tom, to see that perspective.
You know, and I wanted to share that because they are. They are a very, very loving and pure and moral people. And
yes, they are. And I thank you for taking that perspective and offering a blessing for their, not only for the healing of their land and their country, but for their happiness.
Yeah, yeah.
And they so deserve it. And we know that good things will come from this simply because of the goodness of their heart. And I am so glad, Tom, I'm going to mute you, but I'm going to continue responding to your call. I am so glad that you took that trip, because sometimes when we, I realize you've been in a healing situation for about a year now. Maybe it was less than a year, I'm not sure, but quite a while. And we focus our healing desires on one or two or three or four venues that we think will work. And we can be grateful for the blessings that each one of those venues brings, but to expect the wholeness of our life to be restored through any one limited venue is unrealistic. Yeshua reminded us that we are made whole literally by our wholeness. In other words, we were created to be whole and complete beings. And sometimes that has to include moments of joy, moments of exaltation, moments that give us back the love that we are. Because the love that we are gives us back our wholeness. And so I'm so glad that you opted for a non-invasive therapy of joy and that you made that positive choice for your life. You will be benefited so many ways in that. I know. And actually, I have to say that one of the things that our country, and when I'm talking about that, I mean the U.S., does not do enough is we do not vacation enough. People in the United States seem to be workaholics, and those who are not working are worryholics. And we don't treat ourselves to enough joyful time just in the act of being, enjoying life, relaxing, being the love that we are, and sharing our love with our loved ones. And that is a choice that most of the world makes more easily than we do. And I would highly recommend that you revise your priorities in that regard. And as I say that, I should be talking in a mirror with a feedback loop to myself, because I am the world's guiltiest breaker of the law of overwork. And the reason I do it is because I so enjoy my work. I gain so much joy from my work, whether it's doing things like this or the blessing course, or writing or being with you or teaching you or painting a painting. I have so much joy that I forget I just need to take a break from my work. And actually, it's something that my doctors are demanding that I learn. It's a lesson I must learn at this point in my life. So as I learn it, I'll pass on the benefits of what I learned to you, and hopefully that will make a difference in your life as well. And hopefully that will bring positive new opportunities. I'll use myself as an example again, because I have such a wonderful opportunity to love and serve that I think, well, how can I ever love and serve enough in this venue? Why do I need others? Why would I ever need to break away and just go sit at the beach? Well, because you can even become narrowed by the greatest of things you can do. Even Yeshua went to the desert and he fasted. even he sat with his friends and laughed. Even he walked by the shores of Galilee with his buddies and went fishing. You see, we have to cultivate diversified options in our life in order to strengthen our freedom of choice and understand how to make better discretionary choices in life. There are so many ways we can lose our sense of free will. And it's not always because somebody took it from us. It could be we just narrowed our life into a tunnel vision. And we're not expressing ourselves in enough ways to have the discovery of a little child. To repeat again what I've said so many times, Yeshua said the kingdom of heaven is like a little child. Well, if you look, you don't have to look at a little child very long or be with them very long until you see them touching everything, wanting to try everything, wanting to do everything, wanting to take chances without fear, wanting to run, play, and giggle for no reason whatsoever, wanting to be with their friends, and so on. Not ever having a second thought that eating ice cream could be harmful, or that a snow cone could be a bad thing to eat, or they want it. They want the experience. They want the joy. They want the pleasure. And then when they're ready to sleep, they just conk out, fall over, and they're gone. They're gone. They're out either for the night or for a nap. And that was the most natural thing for them to do. Sometimes they'll just sit and fiddle with a toy for hours. And it doesn't make sense to us how they're finding this universe of wonder in a little toy, but they do. And we need to be more like that in the sense that we are less worrisome about our life. And Yeshua really addressed the sense of worry. He said, why do you worry about tomorrow? The lilies of the valley don't worry. And they're given raiment more beautiful than the robes of Solomon. You can't change one hair on your head. Well, I guess there are plastic surgeons that could change the hair on your head right now, but you certainly can't change it by thinking about it or worrying about it. And so why worry? You have everything that's been given to you, but we narrow the field of our perspective. It's like the whole universe has been given to us, but we look at it through a drinking straw. And then we wonder why we can't find the answers, why we can't find the blessings that we're looking for. Well, we all need more and more opportunities for making discretionary choices. And, you know, we may look at our finances and say, well, Glenda, I just simply can't afford to do certain things. I can't afford to have a trip around the world. I couldn't take that much time off from work. I can't even pay for the trip in the first place. And nobody I know could go with me. Why would I want to do that? Okay, so maybe you can't do that. But you can go to the park. You can make more discretionary choices in your life. And making these discretionary choices all adds up to a way of life. And so we look at our life and we have to say, well, what is my way of life? You know, that can be a scary thing. What if the honest answer to what is my way of life was, I'm driven by what I can't afford, by what I fear, by driving 20 minutes to work every day during the week and 20 minutes home and being too tired to do anything but watching a video, getting up the next day and doing the same thing again. And then on the weekend I have to catch up on laundry, grocery shopping, the family needs, catching up on email, et cetera, so that just about everything in my life is obligatory. And if you dare to inventory, okay, so 3 weeks ago I dared to ask you a question. What would my life be like if I had no fear? Now I'm going to dare to ask you a question. What is my life really like? And I want you to answer it honestly, not incorporating all of the fantasies you have about your life, all of the would-be's you would have about your life, all the should-have-dones that you would have there. Just what is my life like? What is it like? That's your what. That is the actual way of life you're living. And somewhere within all of that, you need to find a place for the blessings that you're looking for. And that's when we're going to ask the really big question. How can I expand my life? How can I expand my choices in life so that there's more room for more blessings? Now, that's kind of the completion to what I started last week when I talked about that Yeshua gave us a lifestyle of love. Now, when I use the term lifestyle, I didn't mean it to be misinterpreted as a topic for Oprah magazine. You know, we use lifestyle like the lifestyles of the rich and famous, the lifestyles of dolphins. We use it in such a shallow way in our society. I didn't realize that some of you would take it as a shallow remark. I got a few emails back and needed to clarify that. So I'm going to say way of life. Yeshua taught us a new way of life. And yes, those who knew him and had to conquer their fears of persecution were most definitely motivated by the fact that they had witnessed the resurrection. They had witnessed the remarkable divinity that lived within this loving, amazing person who dwelt among them as a human being, being a human being, and yet having fully realized divine potential. They knew him as an example of something extraordinary that had been planted in humanity, which is why his most favorite, most common parable was about the seed. In other words, he wanted people to know the seed has been planted even in you, and the seed is in your heart. But you have to nourish that seed. And it's not enough that we worship him. It's not enough. What really, really built the strength of the early Christians is he taught them a better way of life. And you can look at this in the life of one person, Peter. Now, Yeshua did not reveal his divinity to everybody. Only to the few closest to him, and only really the few who witnessed his transfiguration 30 days before the Passion Week. Only they really saw the absolute transfiguration from human to divine. But having seen that, Peter, whom Yeshua had turned over the reins of power to, the keys of the kingdom to, after the crucifixion, Peter still ran and denied him. So it wasn't enough. Divinity was not enough to create the courage. After the resurrection, switching to another person here, and Yeshua appeared among them, Thomas, who lived one of the most devout and holy lives of all the apostles, still had to touch Yeshua because he didn't believe it. So even the resurrection didn't create all the conviction and all the power. Okay? Now, after Yeshua was with them for 40 days, instructing them in the divinity that is possible for all people and will be coming to the earth, once he left them, they all moped. They didn't go out to tell the world about it. They moped. They moped around, poor me. Only on the day of Pentecost, when they were gathered and the Holy Spirit came to them, did they then have the fire to go out and become the apostles they were commissioned to be. But even then, for a number of years, they squabbled over what was the right path. What should we do? How should we do it? It really, really wasn't until after they had years of living the life, of experiencing the blessings of Yeshua, experiencing people living together in a new way of life, giving all their worldly goods to one another freely, not because of enforced socialism, but freely out of love, supporting one another, forgiving one another, lifting one another up, and all of this without any doctrine whatsoever. Only then did Peter and Paul and all the other apostles have the courage to face without fear, without trembling, without shirking, their inevitable martyrdom. And so you cannot underestimate the power of this new way of life. Even Yeshua told his apostles, they would say, "Oh, good master," and he would say, "Why do you call me good? There is none good but the Father." In other words, he didn't want to be loved. He wanted to be loved, I'm sorry. He didn't want to be worshipped. Loved, yes. Worshipped, no. They would try to do these amazing, devout acts of devotion for him. And he would say, "Do it to these fellows out here that are begging on the street corner. Whatever you've done to them, you've done to me." In other words, he would deflect all of their attempts to worship him and put it back on a way of life. Until you have lived this way of life, you won't know the truth contained in it. Now, this is a message that is particularly directed toward our blessing givers. Until you experience the power of the blessings you give, you will not fully understand the gift Yeshua gave you at the blessing conference. Yes, he was there with you, and yes, you felt him, and it was an authentic experience, and you had an experience unlike nothing you've ever felt. I know, people have written to me. But if you have any shaky knees after you've gone back in the world, find a way to live it. It's living it. It's living his truth that nurtures the seed planted within you. And it's the seed planted within you growing into an oak tree that gives you the strength you're looking for. And gives you the strength to reach out for new opportunities, to try new things, talk to new people, experience a new food, experience something you've never done before, and delight in the joy of living. So that was the next level we needed to carry, what I opened last week. And now I want to send you into this week with the blessing, but also with this request that will take more than just a minute to do. So do it during the week. Bring me back your answers. Be prepared to talk about it next week. What is your life really like? And how can you expand it in order to create more opportunities for receiving the blessings that have already been given to you? So now, as we start our blessing, I want you to be here with your shoes and socks off, because you need to be touching the earth. Many blessings we draw from the earth. I would like you to be seated with your spine comfortably erect. Not you don't have to be in a tight yoga position. Just lean back in your chair and be comfortably erect, because the whole cosmos will bring blessings to you through the energy of gravity. Now allow your attention to fall away from your brain. Stop thinking. Allow it to be in your heart. And I want you to pray the prayers of your heart. However you pray, whatever you pray for, knowing that God is greater than any way you can define the Creator, and knows your every need and has already supplied your every need. What you need is a greater connection between yourself and the supply, so that you can find it, activate it, and bring it into your life. In this prayer, you will find that greater strength. Yeshua will be there in your heart with you, activating the presence of the Holy Spirit, moving in through the top of your head, into the earth, back from the earth and back through you, many times. Now, I will give my thanks to Yeshua for being here. And then I and as many blessing givers as would like to join me will be conducting the energetic part of the blessing, that it may be as powerful as it can be for you, sealing and activating the connection you need to find all that you desire and require. Dear Yeshua, we love you, we adore you, and we thank you for being one of us. And we know that you have done that and have continued to be among us, that you may help nurture the seeds which the Creator planted in each one of us to have the ideal and perfect life we both desire and require to be fulfilled and fully realized children of God. We thank you for bringing that to our attention and allowing us to follow your pathway. Thank you for healing us, enlightening us, and bringing us even to the big question marks in our life behind which lie the answers we need to see. Amen. The energy transmission is now complete. And the next step is for you to go and rest for 7 minutes. Rest without thinking, because the energy of the blessing is so important to filter in to every cell of your body, heart, and being, and to do its miraculous work without any limitations or problem solving from your mind. Just be and rest. If you fall asleep, that's okay. I'll see you next week. Much love from me. Bye-bye.